We're walking our way through the book of Proverbs, and we're in the 23rd chapter of the book of Proverbs, and the 23rd verse of the 23rd chapter lends itself to what we looked at this morning. And I was there anyway, and I wasn't even sure that we were going to look at the concept of truth this morning, but we did, and here we are this evening in what is hopefully ancillary and related to that this afternoon. Solomon, in verse 23 of the 23rd chapter of the book of Proverbs, says, "Buy the truth and do not sell it, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Buy the truth and do not sell it, also wisdom and instruction and understanding." So if we had to give this a title, it would be "Buy the Truth." The first thing that we can notice from this is that Solomon is certainly exhorting in a general manner. He does not presume the position or state or of the one to whom he is writing or speaking. He says, "Buy the truth." And that is a generally true statement and a valid exhortation. It has a presumption to it. It does not presume that we are in a particular place, but it does presume that we have a particular need and that we therefore must recognize that need. Notice, however, that Solomon does not say somehow that we walk into the truth as a stream and somehow meld with that stream. He doesn't say become the truth or be the truth. And we noted that this morning. It is only the Lord Jesus who is the truth. The believer, the one who is exhorted by Solomon here, it's like the truth is there, and I am here, and I have great need of that truth. There needs to be a recognition of that fact, and so I can move toward, I can petition God for. He says, "Buy the truth. Embrace the truth." Again, he does not say, even in an embrace of the truth, to know the truth in its totality or in some exhaustive manner. Buy the truth. Buy the truth. There is a possibility of overshoot, as you hear me attempting to say by way of introduction here. Satan always, in every generation, attempts an overshoot. And we see this at the very beginning of mankind's history in the Garden of Eden. He says, with regards to the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he says, if you take this, he says, you will know good and evil. You'd be like God. This is a degree of knowledge of truth beyond us. there is always that enticement to that which man is not designed for. Man has a place in God's universe. It is not a stolid, tree-like place. It is an acquisitive place, certainly. He says, by the truth. You come from a place in which you don't have the truth to a place in which you do. Lord Jesus speaks of the pearl of great price. It's worth all that you have. The person in that parable did not have the pearl. Then he did. Did not. Did. And Solomon here says, buy the truth. We don't purchase what we already have. Solomon says, buy. So we recognize a deep-seated, a need that transcends every other need. That's the first thing to be noted then. There is a recognition of need built into this exhortation of Solomon's. Secondly, the purchase Solomon exhorts to. There's a recognition of need. There's a purchase. What is the nature of that purchase? The second point to note here is that Solomon exhorts to an eternal transaction. I can buy anything from an item at the grocery store to a house, and I have purchased something, but it's a very ephemeral purchase. It's only a thing. This is an exhortation to an eternal item. Thus, in the Lord Jesus' case in the parable of the pearl of great price, everything else can be sold so that I have this. And so when Solomon says, buy and do not sell, he is intimating to us that this one thing, this truth, and you could say truth with a capital T, because he is speaking here of that eternal truth, which is the Lord Jesus. In the context of the Proverbs, he would say, this is wisdom. Well, Christ is wisdom. Christ is the wisdom of God. And he is also truth from God. Now, how can I know truth? Truth in this case is not merely a proposition or a fact. Truth is embodied in, is in fact, a person. How could it be otherwise? How can, for example, how can I, if I am a person, relate to facts in the universe except as a person? I cannot have a fact, right? Relate to a fact, both of which are merely things. A thing doesn't relate to a thing. They both just are. But I, as a person, can relate to a person, and this person, the person of the Lord Jesus, is the truth himself. Lord Jesus is the truth. He calls himself that, and that is the crux of the issue when Solomon says, buy the truth. to know that truth, to know that that's what it is that we are seeing and knowing and to embrace. The Lord Jesus says, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. The Lord Jesus declares himself to be the truth. He says, I am the way and the truth. No one comes to the Father except by me. So that which is being called to here is not merely to know something. Know something truly even. But to know someone, the one, and to know that truly and eternally. To know the Lord Jesus is to know him in a real way, in an eternal fashion. So the call here, and that's why it is buy and don't sell. What things in life are not, as they say, fungible? What things in life are not bought and sold? Only truth with a capital T, truth embodied in a person, truth embodied in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have a recognition of need. We have the fact that Solomon is exhorting to an eternal transaction. And then lastly, if there is a real knowledge of truth embodied in the Lord Jesus, it serves as a basis for everything that follows. Solomon doesn't just stop there. This is not a state of nirvana. We do not sit motionless having found the Lord Jesus. He says, by the truth also wisdom, instruction, and understanding. This knowledge is real. It's a knowledge of the one and only creator of the universe. But although there's a true knowledge of Christ, it is not a static knowledge. As a matter of fact, the apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 4 makes this knowledge the beginning of everything in the Christian life. Ephesians 4:21. He says, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. And then he goes on to say, well, this is what an expanding knowledge of the Lord Jesus looks like. And he says, okay, you have this, having bought the truth and heard him. Now you need to go on. Now you need to go on. As Solomon says, by the truth, also wisdom, instruction, and understanding. A real knowledge of the Lord Jesus, buying and not selling, is an entree to a continuing not only relationship with the Lord Jesus, but a relationship with truth. The apostle in Ephesians 4 says, now what you need to do, he says, is put off the old man, put on the new man. How? He says, renew your mind. Renew your mind. That's what it looks like. How do you do that? By the truth. Having bought the truth and not selling the truth is that which continually cleanses and provides future movement and present movement. The mind is renewed by the truth. The Lord Jesus, who is the truth, is the one who leads us forward in the truth. What does that look like? Well, one thing for sure, and the apostle describes that immediately in Ephesians 4, as he says, did you hear him? He says, tell the truth. Tell the truth. Believers are truth tellers. The truth then is necessary for growth. We tell ourselves the truth. We speak the truth. We seek the truth. I think I mentioned this morning, and if I didn't, and intended to, Leviticus 19, there is this that kind of a core set of things that are described as necessary spiritual principles drawn out of the Ten Commandments that the Lord Jesus teaches from in the New Testament. Oh, love your neighbor, he says. That's crucial. That's a boiled down summary of the second table of the law. The other thing that is striking there in Leviticus 19, that, as I just said, the apostle says in Ephesians 4, he says, don't lie to one another. Ephesians 4:16, speaking the truth in love, grow up into Christ. Believers are truth tellers, having embraced the truth. We speak the truth. We tell ourselves the truth. We speak the truth because of an adherence to it. We have moments in our nation where there are turning points in our nation. We're attempting to confirm a Supreme Court justice right now, and there, people are up in arms on one side or the other, and people will say no truth, no justice on one side and the other. Well, certainly the believer is there. No truth, no justice. Justice comes from truth. That is the heart of the beginning of that fact in the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandment thing about truth-telling is couched in a court of law. Don't bear false witness. That is, when you're on the witness stand, you tell the truth. And then it spreads to every setting that you are. You shall not bear false witness. But you have to know what the truth is. Isaiah 59 speaks of truth in the setting of the larger society. Isaiah 59 verses 14 to 17 says, justice is turned back and righteousness stands afar off, because truth is fallen in the street and equity cannot enter. So truth fails, and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. And there's a key fact here that is necessary for us. Why do people not tell the truth? Well, for advantage. For advantage. Why do people lie on the witness stand? For some kind of advantage, so that they won't harm themselves, so that they can get something. The believer is one who says, I don't own that fact. God owns that fact. I only witness to it. And so often, if I witness to the truth, I make myself vulnerable. Who will protect me when I tell the truth? Can I just dodge a little bit here or here? I mentioned this morning the Lord Jesus spoken to by the high priest. I adjure you by God, are you the Messiah, the Son of the Most High? He could have potentially deflected. Oh, you don't understand who the Messiah is anyway. Why should I tell the truth? He said, it is as you say, and you will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of glory. He didn't just affirm it. He, if you could say, he rubbed it in their faces. And not so much, but he just said, yeah, I am. And I will be the judge. I will, in truth and righteousness, judge. So truth is central for the believer. Truth is that which sets the believer free in the Lord Jesus. Liberty is central to that which the believer has in Christ, and it is in and around and because of truth. Truth will set you free. But we have to continue to walk in the truth. And because of that, because even though we purchase it, we only own it provisionally, so to speak. It's just like the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Well, what about this slice of land that I plunk down good money for and have a lat-long plat survey of? Does that mean that I own that in perpetuity? I have some of that which God created from the beginning? Well, I have it as a steward. I have truth in the same fashion. It's not mine. It's His. And so I, in that sense, I give it back to Him. And as I give it back to Him, I'm free. I'm free. I'm free in Christ, who is the truth. The blessedness is not because I own the truth, but because I know the one who is the truth. Let's close in prayer.